Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon on Faith Radio. And there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hey, welcome once again to Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem. I always appreciate the opportunity to get together with you. Hope you had a wonderful weekend and looking forward to the week ahead. You know, we're counting down till Christmas and we're in the midst of a wonderful season here on Faith Radio with our partnership with Angel Tree, the Ministry of Prison Fellowship that was founded back in the 80s. And the last year, over 374,000 children were able to receive gifts, and that's their goal this year as well. And our goal on Faith Radio is to see 1,000 of those children taken care of. Angel Tree is a program that helps to reach those one in every 28 or so school-aged children that have an incarcerated parent. It's some 2.7 million children of prisoners. And often this is the only gift that they receive. So it's a great program, and we're excited to talk about that. In fact, we're going to share a story with you in just a moment. I want to let you know that coming up on the program today, we're welcoming back Laura Petherbridge. Laura has been our guest in the past. She's an international author and a professional speaker on subjects related to singles, divorce recovery, divorce prevention, step families, relationships, and spiritual growth. And one of the more recent books she's written is called 101 Tips for the Smart Stepmom. This is expert advice from one stepmom to another, and this is particularly important at this season of the year because holidays are one of the most challenging times for step families and blended families. So we want to talk about that. In fact, if you have a question, you are welcome to join in right away. In fact, we'll open up the phone lines right away so that we can get your questions answered. That number is 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. We've got some copies of Laura's book to give away, 101 Tips for the Smart Stepmom. This is a great resource. You'll just find it so practical and helpful. So I encourage you to give us a call for that, and then come on with a question or a comment for us. Well, let's get into today's Angel Tree story. We've been sharing them regularly here on Connecting Faith. And by the way, thank you for your generosity. Our Faith Radio listeners have already shared the resources to reach 339 kids. Ted, isn't that great? I mean, that's just super.
Nearly halfway there.
I know. Yeah, we're going for it. Our goal is 1,000 kids, and so we're really making great progress. So thank you for your generosity. There's a way to sign up online on our website at myfaithradio.com. And many have done that, or you can call this direct number, 855-59-ANGEL. That's 855-592-6435. And just again, I'll let you know that $84 will help reach 6 children with a Christmas gift, the gospel, and a message of love from their incarcerated parent. Your gifts in the past have made a difference for someone like Greta. Let's hear her story.
When 8-year-old Greta's father went to prison, she lost more than a dad.
We lost our home, our cars, our family was ripped apart. My mom had went to the local social services and asked for help, and they told her that they were not responsible for a prisoner's child and handed her a box of cornflakes.
For this hurting, forsaken family, not even Christmas would bring hope because it was just like any other day.
We just didn't do Christmas. I mean, we didn't have trees, we didn't have decorations because we couldn't afford it. Christmas just wasn't an option.
Families of inmates, who've done nothing wrong themselves, live in a reality that most of us will never know. In an attempt to survive, Greta's mom made a fateful choice.
And then that's when my mom married the man that she did, feeling like she had no other option.
Young Greta paid a steep price.
I was molested by my stepdad. The entire time my dad was in prison, I didn't feel like I could tell anyone, and I felt dirty, and it was hard growing up like that.
But one Christmas, hope arrived from a surprising source. Gifts from Greta's incarcerated father.
Angel Tree came knocking at my door, And they had brought all kinds of boxes and presents, and, you know, they had put it from my dad. And it really kind of gave me hope that maybe, you know, there was a light, there was a way out. And it just seemed like that moment that somebody really cared about me.
A little girl feels love, real love, for the first time. Looking back, that has made all the difference.
I was full of rage and anger and even hate and bitterness, and now it's just full of love and life and Jesus, and I want to work with underprivileged children. And I don't think that I would have known that I could do that had it not been for Angel Tree.
Today, God has healed the pains from Greta's past, even reuniting with her father. Still, her heart breaks for every child who has a mom or dad in prison.
I am sure that there are thousands of other little girls and little boys that are going through what I have been through, and they're hurting, and they feel alone and like there is no hope. But this program really does touch more than people know. You may think you're just giving them a Christmas or buying them a present, but you are doing so much more than that. You are changing a life.
I love hearing the stories of life change, thanks to Angel Tree. You can be a part of it. $84 will help reach 6 children with a Christmas gift, the gospel, and a message of love from their incarcerated parent. If it's $50, if it's $100, if it's $1,000, whatever you can do, thank you for your generosity. You can call 855-59-ANGEL to contribute to be a part of that, or you can go online at myfaithradio.com. Here's powerful stories, Ted.
Yeah, and that money, just to know, it doesn't go to us at all here at Faith Radio. That goes 100% to the program. So
yeah, we're excited about that. You also heard, Greta's story talking about how, you know, her mom married someone else, and that led to some challenges. And we're going to talk about some of the challenges in blended families. Not all families blend right away, at least anyway. And we have expert advice today from Laura Petherbridge. We're just honored to have her back. Again, a speaker and author of books like When I Do Becomes I Don't, Practical Steps for Healing During Separation and Divorce. She's a co-author of The Smart Stepmom. She's been featured on Focus on the Family, A Family Talk, Family Life Today, and many other programs, including Connecting Faith. And she's back with us to talk about her book, 101 Tips for the Smart Stepmom. Laura, welcome back to Connecting Faith.
Thank you. It's great to be with you.
I want to just jump in, I guess, and before we talk specifically about holidays. And again, a reminder, if you have a question for Laura just about some blended family issues, you're welcome to call 877-93-FAITH. Laura, why is it so complicated when we're trying to sort of blend families, which is becoming more and more common?
Yes, it sure is. There's actually more stepfamilies in the U.S. today than there are first-time families. So it is a growing number, and it's important for us to understand that they have unique needs and unique complexities. One of the reasons it's so complicated is you're just dealing with a lot more people. Just the sheer number of people that you're dealing with, because you've got mom and dad, and if one or both of them remarried, now you have their new spouse and that new spouse's family, whether they have children, they have a mom and dad, they have aunts and uncles. So just the sheer number of increasing the number of people that you're dealing with and the number of homes that you're dealing with, just that alone makes it more complicated. But the other reason it's complicated is because you're dealing with people that have some grieving going on, whether recent or even maybe some ghosts of Christmas past, because all stepfamilies are birthed on loss. Every stepfamily that forms, there was either a death or a divorce or a breakup of a relationship in the past. So the stepfamily itself is birthed out of grief. And everybody deals with grief differently. Some people do it healthy in a good way. They go to a support group. They perhaps go for therapy. They walk through the grief. But it's not uncommon for people today to just try to put a Band-Aid on that grief or ignore the grief or numb the grief. And so they're bringing all of that pain and grief from the death or divorce into the new marriage, and that includes kids, both little kids and big kids. Sometimes we think stepfamily complexities are only true with little kids, but it's true of adult stepchildren also. So it's just the whole thing is complicated.
You know, and maybe to, I guess that should we expect a new normal? I mean, and maybe in terms of societal standards, as you said, there are now more step families than there are, original families, if we use that term. So what does the new normal or what should it look like?
Well, I guess that question of should, that gets a little gray or fuzzy for many people. It's one of the things that if we even consider, people who are married as a step family, but when you take into account people who cohabitate as a step family, now you're talking vast numbers of people. You know, cohabitation rate has increased 800% since 1970. So it's important for us, as most of us probably have at least one family member who, is in a step family or knows of a step family or our neighbor or that person that sits next to us at church. So that's why it's important. If we want to reach out to people in our community and people in our churches, we need to understand that what works in a first-time family and what's normal in a first-time family is not normal in a second family, in a step family. So that's why we talk about this, because so often, in particular, the church tries to use the same teachings or Sunday school classes or small group material for a first-time family as they will in a step family, and that doesn't work because the discipline styles, the way you're co-parenting between two homes, all of that throws just such different directions. So, the reality is this is life today, and are we going to be part of the solution or part of the problem? That's really the answer that we have to come up with in just today's society.
Part of the solution, according to one of the tips in Laura Petherbridge's book, is called Murder Norman Rockwell. We'll find out more about that and other issues as we talk, particularly about holidays, navigating the holidays for step families. That's our topic today. We would love to have you join the conversation. We've got three copies of Laura's book to give away, 101 Tips for the Smart Stepmom. Expert advice from one stepmom to another. Love to make sure that you get your name in on that. And love to have your question or comment as well. I want to make sure that this is a program that answers your questions or offers some good advice. And Laura has lots of it, so she'll share in just a moment. Call us at 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Or if it's more convenient, you want to just drop us a note, send us an email, you can go to our website, myfaithradio.com. And click on the Connecting Faith show page. There's an email link right there, and we'll get to your question coming up in just a moment.
It's a family affair. It's a family affair.
Extended family, or growing family, or family plus, whatever you call it. We're going to talk today more about how do we manage and navigate holidays. One of the biggest concerns for stepmoms, Laura Petherbridge will give us some great advice. She's a speaker and author of books like When I Do Becomes I Don't and a co-author of The Smart Stepmom. She's been featured on programs like Focus on the Family and Family Life Today and with us here on Connecting Faith. The book we're referencing is called 101 Tips for the Smart Stepmom. We've got three copies to give away. The number is 877-93-FAITH. 877-933-2484. So are there some key points to remember for step families as they approach the holidays, maybe for the first time, or, does it get any better maybe the second or third time in a while?
It really depends on the step family dynamic. There's so many complexities and different types of step families. There's a really no cookie cutter answer to that, but there are a few things that people can think of in advance. First of all, is as we teased about, Murder Norman Rockwell. It's so common in our step family that we know the children are hurting, we know the kids are hurting, whether they're little or grown up, and that it's change for everyone. And so, especially as the stepmom, we tend to think, if I could just make everything a perfect Christmas for them, if I could, just get the perfect toys or the perfect decorations, or, most stepmoms that I know are very well-intentioned towards their stepkids, and they want the Christmas experience, the holiday experience, to be one of peace and joy and pleasantness. And so it's important to recognize that you can only control that in your own home. You can't control what the children are experiencing in the other home. So as far as it's with me, I try to make, you know, when they're in our home, when they're in our place, when it's not things I can control, to keep it as peaceful as possible. I encourage mom and dad to not fight over which day the kids are going to get to be at which home. It can become a battleground as to whether the kids are going to be, you know, there at Christmas morning to open their presents and who's going to win the kids. It can become a real war. And so it's important to not make those things a hill to die on. I'm not saying to roll over and play dead and never, you know, try to set some boundaries there where you have your children on the holidays. But what I'm saying is make sure it doesn't become such a battleground that everybody ends up frustrated and miserable. Lower your expectations. You know, if the other home, if the other parent has decided to sabotage your Christmas for the last 3 years, assume they're going to do it again this year. It's just part of understanding that, okay, this is our plan if everything goes well, but if the other parent chooses to sabotage our Christmas again and make things difficult for the children, this is our plan B, where we're going to not let it totally destroy or disrupt our Christmas. And it sounds easy to do. It's not easy, but it is doable. And the more you plan ahead of time, the better off you are. That's also true for helping children with their grief during the holidays. The sooner you sit down and talk to the kids about, okay, this, you know, your mom and I have talked, your dad and I have talked, and this is the plan we've come up with for Christmas. We want to sit you down so you know where you're going to be Christmas Eve, where you're going to be Christmas morning. Children get fearful over where they're going to be, and they feel very torn between the two homes. So the more you can explain that to them that ahead of time, the better off it will be for everyone.
I thought, you know, one of your tips, you talked about the best predictor of the future is the past, that, the, you know, if we've got a little bit of history over the last, you know, few years, then, you know, we need to bring that into account when we're planning this year's events.
Yes, it's not an uncommon email that I get from a stepmom where, you know, the divorce papers say that dad gets the child on Christmas Eve or whatever, and then at 5 o'clock on Christmas Eve, mom calls and says, you know, Joshua's got a runny nose and a sore throat, the kids aren't coming. And so if the mom has done that for the last few years, just assume that it's going, instead of getting yourself all upset about it, assume that it's going to happen again this year and make a plan then to celebrate on a different day. So I'm not saying it's an ideal solution, and I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus. I'm just saying if you have someone that is a complicated in co-parenting, who refuses to co-parent in a way that is best for the children, then you need to learn how to work through that without making everyone upset.
You know, I'm wondering if you're talking about younger children, but maybe as they get a little older, they don't necessarily feel the need or the strong desire to blend, right? That with maybe other family, you know, extended family.
That's very, very true. And this is a common misperception that if, say, for example, mom or dad died and the parent then remarries and the children are older, people automatically assume that those kids are just going to be fine with all that. As long as my mom is happy, I'll be happy. As long as dad found someone to remarry and he's happy, we'll be happy. But that's not true. Many, many times the adult kids, they don't like it. They don't like going to a different house for Christmas Eve. They see no need or desire to bond with these step siblings. You know, the stepmom's kids, they don't want to get to know the stepmom's kids. They're not related to me. Just because my dad chose to remarry, why should I now change all of my Christmas plans to accommodate her family? And to some degree, that's true. And it's important for people to talk these things through before they get remarried. Now, does that mean you won't be sabotaged or ambushed by something that comes up? No, the key to that is to change one or two, make one or two new traditions each year, but don't change everything. Like, don't make everything completely different than it used to be, because that hurts. It's a time of memories. It's a time of nostalgia. You know, pulling out that stocking that was the child's that you've held on to for years, that still is important, even if the kids are grown. And so it's sitting down and talking through all of that before Christmas actually hits. But yes, you're absolutely right. Adult stepkids often do not see any need or desire to bond with new stepbrothers and sisters.
Would it be, I mean, as you said, you don't want to sort of just roll over, but would it be just simpler to sort of pick another day completely away from Christmas Eve or Christmas Day or, you know, whatever holiday it might be?
A lot of families do find that as the solution, so that they're not making everybody run from house to house to house. Even myself, being a child of coming from a divorced home, I remember in my childhood how stressful it was. I came from a big Italian family on my father's side. So, you know, my Italian grandmother, she expected Christmas Eve was her festival. I mean, the woman cooked for 2 months for Christmas Eve. And so you better be there on Christmas Eve or you were in trouble. And, you know, as a child of divorce, I always felt this very torn feeling, because if I did what my Nana wanted, then my mother was upset. If I went with my mother's family, then, you know, my father's family was upset. I always felt like I was in a no-win situation. And that didn't go away just because I grew up and became older. Then I got married. Then now I've got other people that all expect me to be there. So, yes, if you can be a grown-up about it and say, you know what, we'd love to have you Christmas Eve, but if you can't come till the 26th, let's make a fun dinner and come on over that day. So, yeah, the more you can do to ease the tension from both little or grown kids when there's been a death or divorce, the better it will go for everybody.
We've kind of started out talking about, you know, some of the challenges for stepmoms, but as you've just been describing, it's not easy for kids, is it?
No, because, you know, there, as I mentioned earlier, everybody's grieving. Whether we want to admit that or not, we live in a society that says kids get over all of this fast, or even adult kids, you know, they'll get over all of these things quickly. Well, that is just simply not true. Divorce is traumatizing for kids, little or adult. And children are a good 2 years behind adults in the grieving process. So even when mom or dad have spent the time, if they've gone to a support group, they've gotten some therapy, they've gotten some help, even when they may be ready to move on, and, you know, the adults view this as, oh, I found a new love, I have a second chance at happiness, I have a new family. The children are viewing this completely differently. And see, that's the part we don't like to hear. We don't like to hear that this is not really exciting for them. It's not happy for them. It's another sense of loss. I've lost my parent now to this new marriage, to this new relationship. That doesn't mean the parent doesn't still love or care for the child, but a new person has become one flesh with my mom or dad. And so the dynamics have changed, the roles have changed, and children feel that grief, they feel that loss. Even kids who were excited about their parent getting married at the wedding, many step-parents say to me, they completely changed at the wedding. Now they hate me. What happened?
Let me jump in. We got a hard break coming up. We'll talk more. Family is a blessing. You know, when family gets extended through death or divorce, that can add maybe some more challenge than blessing. And we're talking about it today with Laura Petherbridge, international speaker, author of When I Do Becomes I Don't, Practical Steps for Healing During Separation and Divorce. She's co-authored The Smart Stepmom and the book we're referencing today, 101 Tips for the Smart Stepmom. It's expert advice from one stepmom to another. We've got three copies to give away. And we'd love to have you sign up for that and join the conversation at 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. Laura, one of the things that we haven't talked about is maybe just the issue of favoritism, because, you know, maybe it's grandmas and grandpas who, you know, don't really bond with the new extended family either. Just say a word about that.
Yes, that can happen. Unfortunately, it can happen. It's possible, say, for example, that grandma really just wants her own biological kids around, grandkids around, and she doesn't want the new stepkids. She's not bonding with those kids. She doesn't like the fact that her son is remarried. And that could be something that the son has done to cause that. I don't, you know, I'm not trying to be naive. But sometimes it's just that the extended family doesn't want to embrace stepchildren into their lives, and that can turn into a real issue because it can look like favoritism towards the biological kids. And, you know, where they get a T-shirt for Christmas, the stepkids get a T-shirt for Christmas, and the biological kids get an iPhone. And so the parents have to guard against that, because not that the grandma and grandpa shouldn't get some one-on-one time with their own kids. That definitely should still be allowed. But when it's blatant favoritism or shunning of the stepkids to where it hurts them, then the parents have to step in and do something about that.
Have you had to, in your own experience, is it something where you just had to sort of sit down and have a conversation with your husband first and say, you know, here's, you know, I mean, sometimes maybe we don't even really know our expectations till we're in the middle of it, and then kind of looking back, go, well, that didn't really turn out like I'd hoped.
Yeah, it was one of those things for me, the thing I guess I remember the most. I've been a stepmom now 29 years, so we've had a lot of Christmases to go through. But I think one of the things that took me by surprise, my stepsons were 11 and 13 when we got married, and I thought they would be really excited and thrilled about learning about my Italian stepfamily traditions, you know, the cookies and the food and all of that. And I was all excited about teaching them that aspect of my life and you know, and them having that as a part of their tradition. But I quickly learned that they had their own family traditions already. They already had their own Christmas traditions and memories and foods and things they liked. And as a stepmom, they did not view me as part of their immediate family. They didn't hate me, but it wasn't like, oh, yeah, let's learn what Laura likes. No, that really wasn't important to them. They didn't really care about that. And so I had to quickly learn, this is not about me. This has nothing to do with me. It's not rejection of me. They merely just have their own family, their own traditions, and I need to set that aside. And, you know, if I occasionally teach them how to enjoy a new meal or have a new cookie in their Christmas repertoire, then that's great. But I had to let go of the dream that my childhood and the things that were precious to me, that they were going to want them or embrace those. See, in a biological home, the child would automatically be introduced to those things as a young child and grow up with them. But in a step family, you're trying to toss those things into their life, you know, as after they're grown and after they already have some of their own traditions. So a lot of it as a stepmom is letting go of the things you thought your stepkids were going to want to be a part of, and they really have no desire.
Is it important that the spouse, the husband, maybe most cases, really take a lead or help provide some direction or some counsel and advice on this?
Yes, the biological parent is the one that needs to be the disciplinarian, the one to give the guidance, the one to, you know, the biggest mistake a stepfamily can make, and this happens often, is for the step-parent to come in, either a stepmom or a stepdad, and for the biological parent to sort of relinquish their parenting role to the step-parent. And that is a huge mistake, because the child has a bond with their biological parent. So therefore, when that parent says, there's a consequence, if you do such and such, you're going to be in trouble, okay, you've already, the kid doesn't like it, but they've got the bond and the loyalty and the natural love towards a biological parent. But when a step-parent steps in and says, if you do that, you're going to be in trouble, their thinking is, I don't know you, I'm not related to you, I don't even want you in my life. Who do you think you are to be telling me what I should do and what I shouldn't do? So it needs to be, the role should be that the biological parent sets the boundaries and sets the disciplinary things. The step parent comes alongside the biological parent, and together they form a united front.
I assume that
can be hard to do.
Yeah, I assume there's times when maybe dad just wants to sort of keep the peace, but he's not really addressing some of the underlying issues.
That's probably the number two thing that stepmoms say to me is, my husband refuses to step up to the plate and parent his children. And that is because during divorce or loss of any kind, most of us as parents, we go into the, I feel sorry for my child. We feel so guilty that our children are suffering that what we end up doing is we begin parenting out of guilt, out of shame, out of fear. And that creates a horrible parenting-child relationship. Because when we parent out of guilt and shame and fear, we don't parent properly. We don't parent in a way that benefits the child. And the child gets away with things they shouldn't get away with. And so dad feels very caught in the middle because his wife is telling him, step up to the plate, you need to tell that child no. The dad feels, well, I only see them one or two days a week. I don't want to be disciplining them the whole time. And so he feels caught in the middle. He feels if he does what his child wants, his wife will be mad at him. If he does what his wife wants, the child will be mad at him. So choosing, and then he's got his ex-wife in the middle of that saying, you know, whatever she's feeding into that also. So it's very, very common for us to get into a tug of war over who's going to be right and who's going to win. And that was why it is so vitally important for step families to attend workshops, to read resources. I host a stepmom retreat and step family events where those couples can come and they can learn the tools and get resources on how to do this in a way that benefits the children and benefits the marriage rather than doing it just from emotion.
Well, that ties into our one of our callers here, Christine, who's listening in on Faith 90.5 in the Twin Ports, wanted to ask, is what are some resources that someone could read who isn't part of a step family yet but is contemplating entering into one? And you mentioned, of course, some of the resources you have, but what would you recommend for that situation?
Well, my stepmom books, even though they're written for the stepmom, they apply to any stepfamily circumstance. Most books are purchased by women. 85% of books are purchased by women. So that's why we actually wrote it, The Smart Stepmom. Plus, the stepmom does deal with some unique things like Mother's Day and childcare and things like that that can be a little different. But I would definitely, in my newest book, I actually have a pre-marriage quiz in the back of the book that I highly encourage all stepfamilies to take before they get remarried. But the biggest thing I think I'd want to say to anybody considering a remarriage is do not ignore the red flags. Don't think that those things are going to disappear once you get remarried. The things you are dealing with now or the things you're seeing or the complexities that you are seeing, get help for those before you get remarried so that you're not surprised and shocked by them. The other thing I would suggest is, you know, recognize that step families are complicated. It's going to be more difficult than a first-time marriage. So often, oh, love will conquer all, or we're Christians, we won't run into those things. But step families divorce at a very high rate, and there's a reason for that, is because it's so complicated. So I'm not trying to be negative. I'm saying you can't fix what you won't admit. And you've got to be with open eyes and recognizing this is going to be difficult. I tell people, don't introduce your children to someone you're dating until you're very close to considering this a marriage. So often people introduce their kids to somebody they're dating very early on, and that's a big mistake because the children can grow attached to that person, and then if they end up not being the one you're going to remarry, they've bonded with another person that they lose in their life. So it's sort of a catch-22 as to when that's a good idea, but date for a period of time. Don't rush into a second marriage. Get some good resources such as the Smart Stepmom or, you know, some of the other things I have on my website. Attend a support group for stepfamilies and come to if she's going to become a stepmom, I would recommend her to come to the stepmom retreats without a doubt, because that will give her the best equipping she could get.
So probably not just having any sort of a special Christmas event to bring in the new date, right?
No, I would not advise that as being the first time the children are introduced. They are already dealing with so many emotions, so many loyalties, so many mixed emotions that to throw a new person, daddy's new girlfriend or mommy's new boyfriend, into the Christmas mix, the adults like that because it's better for them. But if we're going to do what's best for the child, it's not the best time to introduce them to a new person.
You mentioned about not ignoring the red flags. What are there maybe one, two, or three, the top ones that we can't ignore?
Yes. If you're the person you're dating has a cantankerous or a difficult or a violent ex-spouse, you've got to ask yourself, is this the life I want? Say, for example, with a stepmom, if a woman would be getting ready to become a stepmom, I'm always asking her, you know, if the ex-wife is very miserable or tries to make the husband's life miserable, the ex-husband's life miserable, I always say to her, is this the life you want? This is the life you are choosing. And this woman is not going to go away. She is going to be in your life for the rest of your life, as long as those children are alive, even when they grow up. So you've got to get to the place, okay, I know I'm marrying a man with an ex-wife that is trying to sabotage our relationship, and I accept that. I understand that. Because what happens is so many of we women, oh, I love him so much, that'll get better over time. And then when it doesn't, then we're like, why did I get in this? So understand this is going to be a part of your life. If you feel you can't live with that, recognize that now. Accept that now. The other thing would be understand that these children may embrace you in their life or they may not. The person who dictates whether a step-parent and a step-child have a relationship is the step-child. And now step-parents can do things to make it better. They can build a bridge. They can do all kinds of great things to show that they love and care. But the stepchild is really the one that decides, I'm going to let you into my life. And if they choose, nope, it's too big of a risk. If I let you in my life, my mother's going to be mad at me. My mother's going to be crying. My mother's going to scream and yell. My mother's going to disown me if I embrace you into my life. And that's too big of a risk. I'm loyal to my mom. So as much as I'd like to like you, I'm keeping you on the outside. And see, these are hard things to hear. They're hard for me to speak because I'd much rather be saying it's going to be all wonderful. But these are the hard realities where you have to accept that child is only going to let me in to a certain degree, perhaps. Can I live with that? Will I be okay if they never really fully let me into their life? And so when we talk about pre-marriage things, these are the kinds of things. I do a lot of life coaching with couples before they get married. And, you know, they either love me or they ignore me and then say, oh, she's just crazy. She's too negative. And then 3 months later, they call me and say, you were right. So, it's walking through the truth.
You can find out more on Laura's website, laurapetherbridge.com, or thesmartstepmom.com. smartstepmom.com, thesmartstepmom.com. We're talking with Laura Petherbridge today, who's authored a number of books, including 101 Tips for the Smart Stepmom. It's expert advice from one stepmom to another. And we're at 47 past the hour, and we're going to continue our conversation in a moment. We do have some copies of Laura's book to give away, and this may be hitting right where you're living today, and you can find some real encouragement in her great, helpful book. 877-933-2484 is the number to call if you'd like to register for that. We'll do the drawing here at the end of the show, 877-93-FAITH. And if you have a question or a comment, too, we'd love to hear your story and maybe offer some expert advice. Laura Petherbridge joining us today on Connecting Faith. There's more to come. 877-93-FAITH. We're at 49 past the hour talking with Laura Petherbridge today. Laura is an international author, professional speaker on subjects related to singles, divorce recovery, stepfamilies, relationship, spiritual growth. You can find out more at thesmartstepmom.com. Lots of resources there. She also does important seminars and writes wonderful books like 101 Tips for the Smart Stepmom. And we're getting some of those, some good tips today. I'm just wondering if, is there a responsibility that you have as a stepmom to maybe have some sort of relationship with your husband's ex? Is that required, or how far do you have to go on that?
Well, the best case scenario is if the two women can communicate well together. If they can't be friends, which most times that's not even really advisable, but in some cases that does happen. But if the two women can communicate for the sake of the children, and for the sake and peace of peace in both of their homes, that is obviously the best case scenario. Women tend to be the calendar keepers in the home. So sometimes, you know, setting up visitation schedules or as we're approaching the holidays, if those two women can communicate, sometimes I find that the stepmom and the biological mom, they sometimes communicate better than the husband and his ex-wife do. So yes, the best case scenario is if those two moms, and you know, so often when I'm in divorce recovery ministry, I meet women whose husband has walked out on them. He's left the marriage, maybe even left the marriage for this woman he's dating and now becomes the stepmom. I still encourage her. I say, you know what? That woman is going to influence your children. Even though you may hate her, she may be the reason that your marriage split up. And I realize this is hard to do. I'm not saying this flippantly. I had a husband that walked out on me, so I totally get what it feels like to be abandoned like that. But for the sake of your children, again, we have to make the children the priority. For the sake of your children, do all that you can to get along with that new person, because your child is under that woman's influence. And so the more you can get along with them, again, I'm not saying go out and have coffee together. I'm saying if you can at least be amicable, if you can at least be a lady, if you can at least be as peaceable as possible so that the exchange between the two homes is not constantly war for the child. And you can only do your part in that. If the other person refuses to act like an adult, you can't force them to do that, but you can do things that don't throw gasoline on the fire either. So, yes, the best case scenario, Neil, is if the two women can get along at least enough for the sake of the children, that's what's ideal.
So, speaking of the sake of the children, what would kids tell their stepmoms if they listened to them, if they had the opportunity?
Well, I did a whole chapter on that because so many kids, and again, I grew up, my parents divorced when I was 8 years old. So I had two stepmoms growing up. My dad remarried two more times. So I get this. I get it from the perspective of a child. And then when my husband walked out, I got remarried and I married a man with two children. So I've lived it as a kid, as an adult. One of the things that stepkids would like to say to their stepmom is, I really like you. I see the little things you do. I see that you pack a special lunch for me. I see that you make the cookies that I like. I see the little things you do to make our this home warm and cozy and embracing. I see how happy you make my father. Even though I'm not happy, I'm not happy that my parents got divorced or that my mom died, I want you to know that I see that you make my father happy, and that makes me feel good. I might not have chosen this, but I'm at least glad that my dad is happy. And so there are things like that that stepkids, they often don't say it to their stepmom, but they're frequently thinking it. But they're also thinking things such as, why are you jealous of me? You don't need to be jealous of me. We're not in competition for the same spot. I'm the child. You're the wife. Stop acting like I'm your enemy, like I'm somebody you need to be jealous of. Because you see, Dad, when the kids come over, often the wife gets pushed aside because he's focusing on his kids for that little bit of time that he's with them. And it's easy for a stepmom to feel like, gee, all of a sudden I became the maid and the chauffeur. And the kid wants the stepmom to know, let's not be in competition with each other. One of the greatest things that I think I can tell stepmoms, give your husband the gift of time alone with his kids. Stop making everything the Brady Bunch. Stop making everything about all let's do stuff together. Do you know that when my dad remarried, I never got any time alone with him anymore? And that's what so many stepkids, young and old, say to me. I miss my father. I wish I just had a coffee or a lunch with him where I didn't have to deal with the stepfamily issue, where I could just sit and talk to my father. I feel like I lost him when he got remarried. And so if there's stepmoms or stepdads out there, mostly this is true of the stepmom, give your husband and his kids the gift of time with dad. And she may be saying, well, you know, I try to get my husband to do that, but he won't go do stuff with his kids alone. Insist. I have to do that sometimes with my husband because he just is so used to me being around. I have to say, nope, you're going to go do that with your sons by yourself. I'm going to stay over here. They need time alone with you. And it's one of those things that we women can give to our husbands when we're in a stepfamily. Time alone with their kids.
Good word. We only have about 2 or so minutes left. I was just saying, maybe just to talk about giving gifts for Christmas, maybe is there one thing that you would recommend that could pay biggest dividends in terms of having a happy holiday?
Well, yeah, I think a stepmom or a stepdad can do some one-on-one time with their stepkids, if it's possible, and talk about the holidays. You know, one of the things I think I've given my stepsons is that they know my faith is very, very important to me. I don't try to push it on them. In the early years, I made the mistake of trying to get them into church and trying to really give them a Bible and all of that. And I realized, you know what, they got to come to that on their own. But I need to be a good godly example of Christ in front of them. So maybe having some one-on-one time where they get to learn what your faith is all about or what, you know, in a non-preachy way. The other thing is taking them aside and saying, you know what, Joshua, I know Christmas is probably really stressful for you. You got everybody pulling at you. You got numerous family members here. In my case, I can say to them, I grew up in a divorced home, so, you know, I use my own scenario as a way. But a step-parent can say, this must be really hard on you, and I'm so sorry. What can I do to ease the stress for you a little bit? Come right out and ask them. Now, they may not come up with anything immediately, but just the fact that you recognize their pain will speak volumes. And so, you know, I think over these 29 years, what I've been able to give my stepsons is the knowledge that I'm here for you if you need me. I know that in your life, I'm your father's wife. I'm not related to you. In your eyes, I'm your father's wife. and I want to be there for you if you need me. But if you've got other family members that you'd like to be in that circle and I need to step aside, that's okay too. I'm not going to take that personally.
I like the idea of just sort of even acknowledging, asking the question, something that the churches can do as well, I think, to recognize that within the congregations are many that are living in step-family situations. We're getting great advice today, as always, from Laura Petherbridge, who's a speaker and author, and you can find out more on her website, thesmartstepmom.com. 101 Tips for the Smart Stepmom, the book we've been referencing. Laura, blessings to you. I wish you a wonderful holiday season. Thanks for joining us on the program today.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your heart for stepfamilies.
You can hear today's broadcast. If you missed part of it, check out the podcast online at myfaithradio.com and then click on the Connecting Faith show page.